Brilliant. Oh, the amazing Isaac Hayes. Yeah. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show. Speaking of brilliance, with E.B. Kulin Green, special guest host Monty and Whitney. I'm sure she's there as well. Hey, thank you so much for this.
She got her Metro PCS together.
I knew you was going to say that.
I was going to say that.
You probably talked real bad about me, too.
Whitney, I just want you to know.
I'm trying to add on, E.B., like I said, something terrible. I just knew you was drinking. You had to get some Will's Pinot Grigio.
Whitney, I have your back. See, I always try to include you.
You didn't say nothing. You were
yes,
like,
I did.
Where's Whitney? I'm the one that asked it.
No.
You were trying to take over her spot. That's what you were trying to
say. Well, she wasn't there.
Oh, Whitney, go let me talk at her spot,
because
I got so
she wasn't there. Okay, well, somebody had to fill it in. But Whitney, I just want you to know, look, I have your back, okay? Q Lynn threw you under the bus. You know, just like
she did.
Yes, she did.
She was talking about her fiancé.
Whitney, you know I get full audio of this show. All these allegations.
That's right. You know, and Monte heard it also. You
are not factual. I told you what I said, Whitney.
No, Whitney, we have witnesses. Okay, Monte heard it. EB
Monty
knows, right?
Nothing but me saying that she went to go get some of Will's drink. That's all I said.
No. She's
listen,
a Pinot.
You keep bringing Monty and he gonna tell the truth. Tell the truth, Monty.
EB, say exactly what Q Lynn said. Okay.
That's what I said.
That's not what she
said,
right?
She said, you were a welfare queen. And then she said,
wow.
Whitney, I'm back in EB. So EB, you owe me one.
That's right.
He said he don't need your stinking. What is that cheap steak you gonna serve him?
You wanted some of it. It's always something bad when you ain't getting none of it.
EB jumped ship. Hey, thank you, EB. My great friend.
On Prince's birthday, we had a whole 2-hour Prince show, and we had, like I told you before, when you were on the show, I don't have fine China Prince conversations with peasants, and so Will got a peasant plate, and he wasn't pleased with it because he was you don't get the disrespect royalty on the show if you don't get a seat at this table. So we had all kind of fine China conversation. And he was just nibbling like a little deprived puppy
wants
some of this fine China conversation, and he was like, "Oh, I like a couple of his songs.
No. Tell the truth. You gonna have a dinner? You gonna have a fine China conversation dinner, and you guys are gonna have filet mignon and all of these other amenities and you know, just lavish stuff, and you're gonna have me over at the kiddies table with a tuxedo on with beans and franks. Come on.
Beans and franks.
What kind of stuff is that?
That's what you get.
So so guess what?
The prince can't sing, and then the music can get a seat at the table. That ain't how that works.
I just said Michael Jackson was first team, and Prince was on the bench.
Bonnie, what do you think about a professional vocal coach? He came on this show, a professional vocal coach that was recommended.
A professional recommended
from Nancy Wilson to Tina Marie. Said that Prince's vocals was a 9 out of 10.
Wait, he only gave two people a 9.
What did Michael get? What did Michael get?
He got a 7.
I don't
remember.
A 6. I want Monty's opinion on that.
My opinion? I think Prince was phenomenal singing.
He
had his own style, you know. Early on, he was doing the falsetto thing. He worked that, and then he showed us he could do some other stuff later on in his career. And, Michael Jackson... If Michael Jackson just stopped with the Jackson 5, he would still be a Hall of Fame legend. I mean, he did some of the best vocals ever done when he was a kid, a preteen, you know? When he was a kid.
Yeah, preteen. And then when those needles came, no, kids.
See? No digs. Be quiet, Q-Lin.
What are we going to do right here? Go ahead. I'm going to ask this real quick
because since we brought up Michael Jackson, and I'm Facebook friends with Monty, and I think he and I felt the same way about Joe Jackson when he passed this week. So rest in peace to Joe Jackson. But there was so much hate and people talking about Joe Jackson, and I just want you to speak really quickly about, you know, Joe Jackson's legacy and his impact, not only to, you know, the Jackson legacy, but to music.
Yeah, Joe Jackson.
Oh, amazing.
I wrote on Facebook, I first became aware of Joe Jackson when I was probably 8 years old, you know, real early on when the Jackson 5 broke with I Want You Back. And then, you know, you had the Write On magazine where you would see their home life and you would see Kate and Joe, and you felt like, you know, you knew the whole family and you could relate because, well, they're not so different from us, you know. And then I saw Joe on there's a Soul Train episode that the Jackson 5 performed on, and Joe actually did an interview with Don Cornelius, and it was weird, man, to see this person I've seen in this magazine, you know, actually living and breathing and talking. And just his vibe was just so different, you know, because I knew that he had worked in the steel mill, like my own father had worked in the steel mill. But Joe was just so different, man. First of all, he had this big afro, like his kids, and his vibe was just so cool and pimpish. It's the way he talked about. I had never seen a cat like this. I said, man, that's somebody's daddy. Because my father was like nothing like that, you know. He was like a hip cat, you know. But what can you say about the Jackson 5, man? I mean, of course, he started that. And, you know, Dr. King was assassinated in 68, and the Jackson 5 came out in 69. So in retrospect, I look back and I say, you know, that was just the uplift that young black America needed. I mean, we didn't process it as that at the time. But I don't think that was really a coincidence, you know. I think Berry Gordy was thinking about that. And we needed uplift at that time because that was really heavy times, you know. Kennedy's dying, Dr. King dying. It was just like too much.
Yep.
And then we had the Jackson 5, so they became like our young heroes. And for us who were performing as children, you know, they became like role models because they illustrated that you could really do this and be professional and then get acknowledged for it, you know. Of course, everybody's not going to be able to do that, but it gave you something to reach for, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Joseph started all that, you know. I mean, it's an incredible story.
It is.
You know.
Monty, may I ask a question real quick? I'm going to jump in real quick. Right there, when the Jackson 5 hit, and it was a phenomenal at that time, remember... the Osmond brothers came out, which I don't think was a coincidence also. And I think they tried to ride the back of the Jackson 5, right? And the Jackson 5, in my opinion, inspired, you know, them to come out with the Osmond brothers, which was, you know, it's like me. Oh God. Are you kidding me? I didn't like anything they put out. I don't know about you, but to me, it was a counter.
I mean, no, they admitted that, and their producer, Mike Kerr, he said, you know, we tried to model it after the Jackson 5. You know, One Bad Apple, it was just, you know, we tried to jump on that bandwagon because it was so hot. You know, I mean, but, you know, but the Osmonds, they had a national presence, you know, before we even saw the Jackson 5. They were on TV as little boys on Andy Williams. So not to take anything away from them, but I know what you're saying. They were clearly trying to bite off the Jackson 5 thing and the fact they were so hot, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they admitted it. I mean, they came out. I mean, it was obvious to see. I mean, it's no big secret.
I never knew they admitted it. It was just something I'm thinking about. I mean, it's something that just, I said, okay, I know why this happened, right? So, wait, thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I know the producer admitted it. Mike Kerb admitted it. I don't know if they admitted it.
Okay, well, guess what?
Yeah, that's definitely what we were going for. Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, Jermaine and Tito really, like, low-key, like, is one of my, like, musician-wise, they're so, like, underrated, like, how great they were. And, like,
for kids, they were, like incredible. For kids, I mean, because you can YouTube all this stuff now. There's a lot of clips, and you can hear, you know, live concerts of them, and Jermaine was playing the hell out of the bass. I mean, he was like a little James Jamerson, you know. I don't know how much he really understood what he was doing, but he was playing that bass. His ear was phenomenal. And to be singing and doing choreography on top of that, they were just an incredible thing, you know, much deeper than we even realized at that time.
You know, the most obscure...
Real quickly, because I got to go real quick. I just want to hear, y'all can continue on this, the favorite band. Who's your top three real quick before I go?
Top what?
Top three bands of all time.
Top ten?
No, top three.
Oh, top three. Don't make me do that. I can't get it.
I gotta leave y'all now. My Savage Heathen talk is, will you still exclude from the table and you can kiss Prince's Converse Hills? That's a change thing, so. I'm out, y'all.
Well, guess what? Before you go, give me 5 seconds.
Listen,
no, Q Lynn.
Get my name right, okay? Don't let them destroy me out here in these streets, okay?
Okay, Q Lynn.
Keep my name on lock, alright? I'm gone.
Well, guess what? You will hear this later. Your buddy EB is back on my side now, so I just want you to know that, okay? You know, I'm enjoying this interview so much. Hey guys, what I have queued up right now, is, let's see, what did you pick? Mary J. Blige. Hey, Searching.
Searching.
Yep.
Yeah, can I say one thing right quick?
Searching, 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 searching,
Mary J. Blige. It's called Searching, and welcome back to the Soul Savage Show. E.B. Q-Lynn Green, Whitney, and special guest host. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, I
didn't know that cut. That's Roy Ayers playing with Mary.
Wow.
I chose that because Mary is one of, I don't want to say very few, but one of the artists that I look up to, and she's taught me so much. The reason I know so much about music is because she's a true musicologist. She understands music, and she brings that to, well, she brought that to a different generation. It's a different generation now than her generation, but she's one of the few people on that same album. She had Roy Ayers, she had James Entume, and she had George Benson. Like, she likes to include the classics, what we consider the classics, in right. what she's doing. So I had to choose that song. And only because I chose the Roy Ayers song at the beginning of the show, I was like, I got to tie it together somehow. So Mary J. Blige, Searching, yeah.
Nice.
Wow, wow. Hey, guys,
hey,
you
guys,
know.
I gotta break out, man. I got to leave. I got to learn some songs. I'm playing at the Jazz Standard tomorrow with Grant Green Jr. We're doing a tribute.
Oh, yeah,
to
I saw that.
Pop.
So for the listeners, anybody who may want to be included in that, give us some details.
Wow.
Yeah, we do two shows tomorrow. They've been playing there already. I'm kind of like a special guest because Grant Green did some records with Bobby Hutcherson on Vibes, and he actually recorded some other Vibe players too.
Wow.
People don't know that.
Wow.
But, so they brought me in to play Vibes on Saturday night. It's a beautiful thing. Shows are at 7:30 and 9:30. The Jazz Standard, if you're in New York, is 116 East 27th Street. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I still got to learn material because I just confirmed the gig day before yesterday. And, you know, he just called me yesterday with the song. So.
Wow. You know, real quick, Monte, I'm sorry, sir.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And I want you to give out your information again, okay, so that I can connect you. I know Grant Green. I knew Grant Green. As a matter of fact, I was friends with his family, his daughter. And then I met him personally a couple of times, and wow, this is amazing. You know, the world is a short connection, and you know, if you know somebody, somebody else knows somebody, right? And so, man, this is so incredible. I want to thank you so much for that and for your interview. It's so cool, man, to have you on. I hope you will grace us with your presence again.
Oh, I'd love to do it. It's always a good time.
Man, it's
really
a great time.
It, guys.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey,
thank you.
Hey, you.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Hey, Q-Lynn asked that I play some other songs, but EB, we're going to wrap this up in a couple of minutes. It's just you and me, man.
Yeah, and Whitney.
Yeah, is Whitney back on?
I think Whitney's here. Whitney, are you here?
Whitney's in it.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Whitney. Okay.
Good night to all. Everybody who's listening, it's been a blast. I hope to talk to you again. And if you're in New York, hope to see you at the Jazz Standard or the Sugar Bar or Mesro. We're doing some gigs there, and we're doing some gigs at Smalls. I'm all around New York. You know, that's home base. So if you want to see me, you can do that.
I'm bringing
me
a group.
On Facebook.
You got to, okay, give it up.
A group to see you, Monty.
Gonna do it.
You got a website? Hey, Monte, do you have a website?
No, I just do Facebook. Just hit me on Facebook. My name.
I'm gonna hit you on Facebook. As a matter of fact, Studio W Buzz is gonna hit you up on Facebook, and I'm gonna send you a friend request. All right.
Okay.
Now, what is it again on Facebook?
Just my name.
Monte
Croft.
Monte Croft.
Yeah.
Spell it. Less.
Maybe he can hook you up if, you know, we get disconnected.
Yeah, yeah. We're friends on Facebook, so.
Yeah.
He's always putting down the best, so yeah, I'll send that information.
Hey, great interview. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Peace and love. I'm out.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Monty.
All right. Hey, EB, man, you know what? And Whitney, I don't know what genre that you really, really like. But I have to agree with EV, you know, going back in the 60s and 70s, and what we can do, we've got, how much time do we have? We've got about 7 minutes to go. So EB, hey, I'm passing the baton, brother.
So I do want to ask Whitney, speaking of different genres, I want to ask Whitney this mm-hmm. question. Because Whitney's a little younger than I am. Just a little bit. Because I'm very young. I just want everybody to know.
You are. We're only like 3 years apart, you know.
Exactly. We're real close. But, you know, I get called old a lot because of my taste in music and, you know, just a different myriad of things. But I was having a conversation with someone earlier, a DJ friend of mine, and we were talking about trap music. And I'm not sure if mm-hmm. you listen to trap, but I'm not a person that listens to trap, but at the same time, I don't want to become one of those people who doesn't like or who is disgusted by any music that is not the music that I grew up with. So mm-hmm. I think we got into a bit of an argument because he was saying that the younger generation doesn't care. They play trap everywhere. You know, they don't have any coup. Like, they don't know how to discern when it's appropriate and when it's not. So I want to ask you, Whitney, what is your take on trap music?
I mean, I listen to it. I don't have a problem with it, but I get what that person was saying, because if you do just sit down and listen to some trap music, or if you look at the lyrics, it doesn't really seem like it's talking about anything or nothing that you would have a conversation about, like, with family or your aunts or something like that. It can come off very disrespectful. But looking at it, to me, it kind of seems like we hit that point every so often with music, like as exactly. new waves come out and things like that. And so trap music, to me, is kind of like this generation's version of what people used to think about hip-hop. Like, no, people didn't like it. Woo! Either you liked it or you didn't. Now, with that being said, I'm not comparing trap music and the original
traditional hip-hop. Right.
Two totally different things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at the time when hip-hop came out, they was like, what is this trash that you're playing?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Listen, I think we got into the reason we got into the bit of the argument was because, you know, I was raised by my grandparents, so what I listened to growing up was all 50s, 60s, doo-wop, and then Motown. That was what was played in my house. That was what I learned first, and that was what stuck with me. But I remember when hip-hop, well, I was born after hip-hop started, but I remember hip-hop, and I remember my grandparents. I remember my grandmother specifically not liking it, not understanding. My grandfather's whatever, like, today he will still listen to, you know, if Migos on the radio, my grandfather's going to listen to it because he's that guy. He wants to know everything that's going on. The Dells are his favorite. I love everything in the Dells because of him, but he listens to all music. So listening to the music I listened to growing up, when I heard trap start, you know, making its way around the U.S., I'm from South Carolina, so trap was in South Carolina long before it was anywhere else. I got it.
Right.
And I was like, this is, you know, it happens every generation. You know, even when disco took over, they were giving gospel songs disco beats because disco was taking over. I think the same is happening to trap, but we don't pay attention as much as we should. I think we get older and we just automatically look down on certain things. And I don't think it should be looked down on. I mean, part of it I agree because I'm tired of trap yoga, trap breakfast, trap prayer, trap sex. It's trap everything. It's like, okay, can we get a little something different? But I get it. So I definitely wanted to get your opinion on that. And then I have one last question for you, Whitney, if you'd be so kind.
Of course.
We were talking earlier about musicians. And are there specific musicians that kind of stand out to you who have made you appreciate music a little more than you would have without them?
Well, I would say a lot of the stuff that I heard growing up was also influenced like around 70s and 80s. So, like, I grew up kind of strict. And there was a lot of stuff that I just really didn't hear until later. Like, I would hear, mm-hmm. like, the radio singles and things like that. And so now that I'm, like, as I got older and even now, I go back and I re-listen or look up some of those hits, and then I try to see what else, like, those artists put out. But for me, like, one that stuck with me was Maze and Frankie Beverly. Like, for the longest as a child, I didn't realize, like, Frankie Beverly and Maze were not all one and the same, and if there was a whole big band attached, and, like, all these people come out on stage and all this stuff. And so, like, now when I look at stuff like that, I'm like, ah, like, they were really jamming. Like, they was like, oh my gosh, listen, the whole stage, like, are there more people in the back that we can't see? You know, it's phenomenal to see it and to understand, like, what was really going on. So that's probably what really started to spark my interest in, like, how does this work?
That's crazy, because earlier when Q-Lynn asked about musicians, we didn't get the answer at the time, that made us realize Frankie Beverly and Maze was the first band I was going to name. I remember the first time I saw Frankie Beverly and Maze, I was 8 years old. And I went with my mom and her cousins because they didn't have a babysitter. Like, my dad was working, my grandparents weren't babysitting, so it was like, you know, you got to go to the show with us. So they had to buy me a ticket, mm-hmm. and from that moment at 8 years old, I was hooked, and I will still say to this day, Frankie Beverly is my favorite male vocalist, and Maze is probably my favorite band, and what you're saying about, you know, the way that they captivate audiences, mm-hmm. when you go there, it's like a big black family reunion. You know, everybody right. in their white or their baseball caps, and everybody's rocking. It's a beautiful moment. And I've seen right. them live about 9 times, I think, in my lifetime.
Wow.
And it's crazy that, you know, Frankie is getting older now, and he's dealing with throat issues, so hope he gets right. over them. But I just thought it was great that you mentioned Maze as your group, because that was one of the ones I was going to mention. So I think it's important to hear, for our listeners to hear, people who are younger, like yourself and like I am, who appreciate right. soul music. We appreciate the classic, but at the same time, we got to bridge the gaps. Like, music is evolving.
Right, right.
It's always been evolving, you know, from the 20s to the 30s, from the 30s to the 40s, the 40s to the 50s, right. and so on and so on. It's something that evolves, and it's something that, you know, we've got to kind of, like Anita Baker said at the BET Awards last week, you know, all the younger people in the audience, find an elder, find a younger person and mentor that person and keep the tradition going. It's something we've got to do. So
right.
I think it's time for a little savvy heathen talk. I don't know if you have any savvy heathen talk with me.
Nah, nothing that's coming to mind right now.
You know what? I got a little
savvy.
I got some.
What you got?
Oh, Will got a savvy.
No.
Ready.
No, no.
Ready.
I'm always ready. You know, no. I was listening to you and Whitney and just enjoying the conversation. So I was kicking back and you said, okay, because I know that we're almost out of time, but hey, this has been a fun show. Fun yeah. show. It's been absolutely great. I want to thank both of you so much. And Q-Lynn and special guest Monty. It was a fabulous show. I've learned so
yeah.
much. And you know, and I think the thing about it is that it brings you back, you know, because you guys reminded me of some songs that I had forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the greatest thing about
that's
this. I was so excited. I said, oh man. And I'm writing down, you know, I always keep a notepad in front of me, right? And I'm writing down as fast as I can. Okay. What did they say? It was fantastic. Thank you so much, Whitney. EB. My sad and heathen talk is that, and we try to keep this a family, friendly program. And I'm going to do the best I can. My Savvy Heathen talk has to suit. Folks, I know we talk, we enjoy our music, we enjoy our lifestyle, we enjoy our legacies, but things that's going on that we really need to pay attention to. because women's rights are being, right now, are being challenged. I don't know if you know or not, but one of the Supreme Court judges just announced his retirement. And guess right. what?
Yeah.
He was conservative. You already know. And so now, this president has a choice of picking not one, but two judges. And I don't think there has been a Supreme Court judges in the, you know, during their presidency. And I don't think that has happened before. And nope. They're talking about a reversing Roe v. Wade. All right.
Yeah.
And this really, really pisses me off. Because I think that no man needs to decide or make the decision on what a woman has to do with her body. I can't tell you how it infuriates me. Okay, if you have freedom of rights, freedom of speech, freedom of everything, freedom of liberty, then a woman should be able to decide what happens to her body. And that pisses me off. I can't tell you. And you have somebody right now that's wanting to emulate Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, Yi O in China. If you see what's happening right now, he is siding with the dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And trying
to
shoot down
the America
to become. EB, okay, please comment, and Whitney, please, I need to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, I think people should pay more attention to not only who Trump is siding with, but the comments that he's making and the way that his administration has been set up. It's mm-hmm. set up to become a dictatorship. That is what he wants. That is something that he thinks that America should be, and he is the person to be in charge of it all. And I don't know. Like, it's scary. You know, it's always been scary as a person, you know, for me, as a person who voted and who saw so many people who were for Bernie Sanders or who were for Hillary Clinton, who opposed her because of emails or because of Clinton administration policies while her husband was in office, or because they thought Bernie would be the better person for the job. It's kind of like you didn't think this could get any worse, but it's getting there right before your eyes. And not just you, but we all are to blame for this. But you should really pay attention to what is going on right now in Washington, what is going on with the Supreme Court, what is going on in the White House, what is going on even in the mass shooting that happened at the news station in Annapolis, Maryland. And the people who back Trump, who actually commented or called for this type of tragedy to happen a few days before it actually happened. I think we should all just be paying attention and making better choices. You know, I think we should all be showing up and showing out. I think Representative Maxine Waters from California is doing a great job of keeping the momentum going and keeping the truth out there and speaking out against the injustices that we all face here in America. But I think there's more that we all can do in our own homes, in our own communities, in our churches, in our schools, at our jobs. You know, I think we have to be the change that we want to see. And we can't sit by idly and watch this happen to a country that we've watched our mothers, our fathers, great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, uncles, aunts, all of our ancestors fight so hard for equality in. I think we have to fight back and say enough is enough. So pay attention, people. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. That's all I got to say.
You know what, EB, I couldn't have stated it better. And Whitney, I really want your opinion on this, because this is so vitally important, because all of us, you, Q Lynn, EB, myself, we are all doing something, and we're trying to protect what we already have. And if we don't pay attention to what's going on the outside, then how in the world can we protect what's going on the inside? And so really, I'd like to have your opinion on that. And I think that this is our Savin Heathens talk. Whitney, the floor is yours.
Yeah, no, I watch, I pay attention to a lot of comments in general, like on anything that I'm a part of, but I've been paying close attention to it more so recently on Twitter. So I follow Trump so that I can like see what he's saying and stuff like that. And even when he came here to Oklahoma, before he was elected, I went to one of his rallies to make sure that what information was being presented to me on TV, like if that was real. And when I got there, it was like a really eerie feeling. Like I got concerned about being there. And so now you fast forward now to where we are. And I'm like, not only did this, is this happening, but like this is real. It's not a TV show. Like this is no longer us coming up with things that could happen. Those things are actually happening, like our worst fears about us regressing as a race, as a whole, it's happening. And I don't get how we got this far with it. But one thing I do know is that everybody who feels some type of way about this, like, can see that the evilness that's going on right now, no matter how you vocalize it or put it out there, some way you have to start changing this conversation. Like, you have to get people to understand this is a problem. Like, if we do nothing, or even what we're doing now, like, that's great, but we can't let up off pressure. And especially with stuff like, I don't know why they keep thinking they need to tell women what women need to do with their bodies, right, and how you can understand anything about my body if you're not a woman.
That's right.
Even another woman can't always tell me what the best thing is for my body. So I've never understood that, but that one right there, for sure, I will go down kicking and screaming and fighting, because there's no way that I want anybody being able to tell me anything about what I need to do or not do for my own welfare and well-being. It doesn't make any sense. But I think we're off kind of to a, like, now that all of it's happened, I do see hope in all of these kind of grassroots efforts that are springing up. And so I try to put my money into them where I can, ones that I know that are legit. And I try to speak up on these type of platforms, and even in one of the schools I mentor with, you know, I do what little I can there when I can to make sure that not only are the people around me prepared for what's going on, but also the generation that's behind us, because we don't know what their tomorrow looks like if we can't help save today. You know, it doesn't, that's not how it works. We have to give them something to actually grow up to. If we don't do that, we fail, and we can't allow that to happen.
You're right. And you know, what I don't understand, absolutely, is how some of these people, EB and Whitney, how some of these people can go out there and spew a negative and hateful narrative, and they have kids. Do they know, right, what kind of seeds they are planting? You know, and this thing.
So, I think they do.
Wow.
I think they do know.
Yeah.
Now, that's scary.
It's been here.
Yeah. Very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean to tell me that you want to plant the seed of a devil in your child?
I mean, they may not see it as a devil, but that is the seed that's being planted.
Well,
they wouldn't see it as that, but that's what's happening.
Well, let's go back to the basics then. Thou should not murder. Okay, or you can go through or any of the commandments, and these same people that you're talking about carry the Bible every Sunday.
But you know what the difference is, Will? They don't look at anyone who is not white as human. So they are able to separate us from the word of the Lord.
You know what? That's scary.
We're not human.
You know what?
That is what is scary.
EB, that is scary, because I thought about this. You know, let me break this down for you guys right now, because I was in my kitchen the other day and I saw some bugs and I said, God dog it all. I'm killing these bugs. And anybody in the world, you're going to kill bugs, right? Because they're not human. And I thought about the same thing that you're saying right now.
Yeah.
What if we are perceived as being equal to a bug?
Yeah, that's that's basically what it is.
Damn.
That's what it's been forever. Even when during slavery, when they had the three-fifths law, it was because we were not seen in their eyes as being equal or as being human. We were basically property or scum of the earth. And that is what a majority of people still think about black people, about gay people, about people from Mexico, about people from Russia, about people, you know, of any ethnicity, sexual orientation, or religious belief that isn't white, Christian, and or male here in America.
Yep.
And that is what is scary, and that is what we should be working toward changing.
But let me tell you how we can change the narrative. Because guess what? Mm. If you go back to the original man, black.
Yeah.
And everything came from that. So we can have this narrative again now. So they really don't want us to get deep, but this is getting deeper than I thought it would be, but that's okay. Because this is what we need to say. We need to let people know really what's happening is because, and they even know it's not true. The people who have, the people who have put out this narrative, the people who have, and this has been done throughout history, because if you chip on a block long enough, guess what? It's going to crumble. All right. Oh, yeah. And so if you, if somehow you take down, you know, what is, you know, which is their dominant producer, the start of it all, and keep chipping away, and look at 2000 years later and you see what happens here. But guess what? I found out something. I was listening to, Jemele Hill, an interview that she did because she just got a recent, award, and I don't have the information in front of me, but anyway, and she was talking about, okay, the very thing, same thing that we're talking about. And one thing that stuck with me, and she was talking to, black women, and she said, do you know that we're the most educated, group in America? I said, whoa.
Oh yeah.
I
remember learning that my first day at Howard University. We sat in a room at freshmen, and they said, look around, half of you won't be here. That said, now look around again, and three quarters of you won't be here. The majority of who will remain will be black women, because those are the people in America who succeed and who are the most educated, but who are the most underappreciated and the most undervalued.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I tell you something else. Do you know overall who is the most dominant as far as, or the most well educated with the higher degrees in America? Nigerians.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
That's right.
We always be giving it to the Asians. We be saying the Asians are smart ones.
See, the thing about, Yep. Check it out. You can Google it. I did.
Yeah, no, I believe you.
But the point about saying is that, but if you have people who have the power to put these falsehoods over the airways, because if you tell somebody about it, check it out. Why do we buy things? We look at TV, says, oh, Ritz crackers, Heinz, Campbell's, Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola. And when you go to the store, what are you going to buy?
You're going to buy exactly what you see.
You're going to buy exactly what you see. And the people have been, they've been buying the lie that has been told.
Exactly.
Through advertisement, because, you know, there's certain people that have the money to go and put out a lie. And I'm going to just close my comment here. Maxine Waters, yeah, I'm sure you saw it, and I'm sure you saw it, Whitney, also. And they went on, and Maxine Waters was telling about, they were talking about my favorite, Sarah Huckabee Sanders got kicked out of a restaurant. I'm sorry. I'm trying to show some compassion here. Excuse me. Please forgive me. Okay, because the owner didn't want her in the restaurant, right? Because he works for Trump. Okay, So they're trying to blow this up to a big old thing, right? When you got kids, 2,047 kids that have tried to cross the border that hasn't been united with their parents. You see on TV cages, kids in cages with a Mylar jacket. I mean, blanket. You know, I have a safety kit in the house and I went down and I pulled off because I happen to have one. Do you know that you can fold it, or if you fold it up tightly the way it's packaged, you can hold a Mylar jacket in the palm of your hand even if you are a kid. But it opens up somehow. I've never opened up one of these damn things, but you got kids behind cages, haven't seen their kid, their parents in months. And the legal, and a lot of these people have tried to cross the border trying to seek asylum, which is a law which they should be able to do. And they're still being separated from their kids. You got mothers in Texas and you got kids in New York. How in the hell do you do something like that? You know, I don't know. I just got off to the point, right? But anyway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was kicked out of a damn restaurant. Okay. And so now they're trying to equate that to, and somehow the right is trying to say, the so-called right. Oh my goodness. Scary, isn't it? The so-called right, they're trying to say, well, this is equivalent to, okay, Waffle House. All right. Starbucks. We know what happened there. Two brothers were arrested for just waiting and waiting on a business partner. And the latest, I don't know what you heard about this, Whitney, EB. Do you know that a crowd of people who already paid for their dinners to go, and it was about a dozen black people, were outside in the parking lot just having a great conversation, and somebody called the cops on them? No, the manager called the cops. All right.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this wild, crazy woman out here in California that called the cops on some young black kids trying to just sell water in a hard day? They were outside and they were selling water. She called the cops because said they didn't have a damn permit.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this other crazy woman that called cops on some blacks out there trying to have a barbecue in the park, saying they didn't have a permit to be do that? What in the hell is going on, folks? I'm going to let Evie, I'm sorry, I've talked way too much. I'm going to let you and Whitney close the show out. And I'm going to, Q-Lynn sent me a song. She said, Boogie Wonderland, Earth, Wind, and Fire. So, EB, Whitney.
I'm going to say this, my final thoughts on it. It's sad that that's as far as their compassion and humanity reaches, is when the things that affect everyone else start affecting them. It was fine when black people weren't allowed to eat at certain restaurants or the cops were called. It was fine when gay people were denied a wedding cake or the police were called or they were denied entrance to a certain restaurant. But she goes to eat one meal, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and the restaurant owners let her know, no, you're not welcome. And it becomes national news, and everyone is outraged. I think that in itself speaks to their motives, where their intentions and where their hearts lie, that they just don't care unless it affects them negatively. So with that, I think we are at the end of this episode of the Soul Savages Radio Show. We got to thank Monty Croft for being on. Again, you can catch Monty tomorrow at the Jazz Standard, 116 East 27th Street in New York, New York. So thank him. And then next week we're going to have the Whipped Queen from Houston, Julie, back on with us. And that was another episode of the Soul Savages Radio Show with Q-Lynn Green, EB, and Miss Whitney, who has a fiance that she didn't tell me about. But that's all right. We're going to see y'all next week. I want everybody to have a great week. Go grab somebody by the ball.
I don't believe With that, I have nothing else to say. Whitney?
No, that's a
wrap. Midnight brings sunset and into hearts of